This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, want to thank you for listening on 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But if you want to stay up to date, you can listen on demand anytime, anywhere on the Odyssey app. It's free to download, free to listen. All you got to do is go and download the Odyssey app in your app store. Look for 92.9 FM ESPN, favorite us, and then you will be up to date with everything happening here on the station. Dennis Fuller's producing the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My partner in crime, my company on Wednesdays, is the MC of Fun and Games here in Memphis. He's also the host of 901 Wrestling. His website is CerritoEntertainment.com. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter on Twitter, on X, at Cerrito, Kevin Cerrito. Good day, sir.
What's up? Great to be here. Exciting time of year. 'Twas the day before Halloween here. And some possible rain coming in. What's worse, rain on Halloween or rain during a World Series game, Jeffrey?
So, I think it's a matter of where are you in life, correct? Because on the one hand, though, I think this is going to be the dilemma. First off, do we know for sure? Like, I know rain is in the forecast, but like, I can remember many Halloweens where it rains, but then you get like that. Hey guys, it's going to stop raining for 3 hours. Like, let's go. Like, and you know, as kids, and you're just sprinting house to house, trying to get it in before the rain comes back. I mean, are we talking all day rain? Cause I heard that was possible.
Yeah. I mean that's what I'm no Todd Demers, but I will check in here, and get the latest forecast.
Because when do you buy your candy for the house?
Can I tell you? I don't do candy. So I have a little. My daughter. She's
she's always
trick or treating age. So we're always out of the house, and so we're a no candy house because we're out collecting it.
Okay.
So we don't leave somebody behind.
Okay. So and y'all don't do like the.
You could leave a bucket out.
Right. And I've always struggled with that. Like
I'm fine with that idea, but
I like it. I just don't trust people.
So it says it's going to start thunderstorms at 9 a.m., but this is the great news here. According to the hour by hour here, the Weather Channel's website, if this starts, well, hold on. Is that today? Yeah. 9 a.m. tomorrow. Yeah. It's going to stop by 5. So
by the way,
could have like this. All you need is 5 to 8 o'clock to be clear.
The low-key websites that I feel like we get absolutely bombarded with ads on, all of the weather apps. They absolutely
just taking me a scroll, make sure. Now I need to unlock more hourly forecasts. But it looks like, yeah, we're going to get rain. There's a good chance, like you said. Because the difference between, like, if you're having a baseball game, right? The rain, once it starts, I mean, the World Series, they have more capabilities of covering the field, right?
But then there's also obviously, if there's lightning in play,
right?
They shut it down. But there is a level of rain that they'll play through. And
right.
So,
which is probably the same amount of rain you could trick or treat through, right? I think you could trick through the same amount.
Yeah, I just always
both of them lightning. You probably should not be out at playing baseball or trick or treating. But if there's like a downpour, both of them are paused. But I would say, like in sports in general, if it rains, it can change the show must go on. The game could still happen, but the conditions could be changed. And trick or treating, I don't think the conditions really change. So once it clears up, all you need is for it not to be falling from the sky, right? And then you can go house to house.
All right.
Needs to stop.
All right. I was trying to pull up I'm an AccuWeather guy.
You're an AccuWeather.
Yeah.
That's one of the
and I was trying to pull up the hourly.
But like if it's raining all day in Los Angeles, which they would, you know, they would love that. They panic. But like
place shuts down.
Right.
I've told you about my suite mate from San Diego, and granted, San Diego's like 2 hours south of LA. He didn't have windshield wipers on his car, and he could not, in the same way that I couldn't understand how that was actually possible.
Right.
Because I even did the thing, I was like, do y'all not have inspections? Like, he's like, no, man, it doesn't rain. He had the same reaction back to me that he could not believe that I was flabbergasted that he didn't have windshield wipers.
Yeah, I've never heard of such a thing.
All right, it looks like you're going to be able to.
I think
as long as the trick or treat, it looks like the bad stuff's going to roll in at 10. So there's a window to trick or treat. But what I was also thinking of,
but there's the hour by hour is not.
Well, the
you got to get closer to the hour.
The worst thing for if you're not in trick or treating age or of the age that your kids are trick or treating. When you go and buy the huge thing of candy and you get no trick-or-treaters for either weather or for whatever the reason may be, and that 150-pack is just staring at you, because that really sets the holiday season off right, because you're just going to have to eat it. It's going to sit there. Like, I don't have the willpower to say no. My wife and I last night were so proud of ourselves that I went and bought the bag over the weekend. Kevin, I splurged for the M&Ms, Snickers, the pricier one.
Yeah.
But we've been very proud of ourselves that we haven't gone and opened it yet.
But you're gonna have to open it tomorrow.
Correct. Yeah. if we don't wind up getting trick or treaters,
gotta pick your favorites. That's what you need to do. I mean, unless you're getting some great deal, like you've got to be, if you're buying your Halloween candy, go with what you like, because there's a chance you're gonna have some left over. And, you know, give some a snack in between the visitors. But
if you're participating, rain at the sporting event is worse. Because there's no way, like you said, if you're involved in the trick-or-treating element, either A, your kid is enjoying it or you're enjoying it, there's some type of enjoyment. Even when you're at a game and even if your team's winning, when it's raining, you're just miserable.
The ground, for the players and for the fans, right?
Right.
Like, because your seat is probably wet, right?
Correct. And then your shoes get wet because you're now standing up.
If you're trick-or-treating, you're typically close to your home. So if you do need to have a wardrobe change, if it poured on you, go home, change real quick, whatever. If you need to change your shoes out, your socks, you're close to home too. So
and
that's a big benefit.
You can bring the other stuff. Like if you need towels, if you need and you can bring umbrellas. I mean, you know what I mean?
Right,
like,
you can bring umbrellas. You don't have to have a clear bag to go trick-or-treating. You're going to bring a bag, more than likely.
Basically, all you've got, if you go to a sporting event, it's whatever waterproof outfit you have. Like, if it's a poncho, do we still do those? Are those still things?
Yeah, of course, yes.
So, yeah, ponchos. I mean, I basically would just wear, like, my golf all-weather stuff. And that keeps you fairly dry. But then, like, that's the other thing. It's like when you have... Like when it also, that's like then with the rain starts blowing sideways. Like, yeah, the obvious answer I think has to be Halloween. Yeah. Final answer.
Final. Well, there's a new most popular candy, and we'll talk about it later maybe.
Question tomorrow.
Yeah. So you know.
Yeah. Question.
Yeah. No.
Of course. All right. Let's see what we got coming up on the program. Want to start with some buy, sell short, or go to Reddit. Of course, the Grizzlies tonight taking on the Brooklyn Nets. 6:34 pregame. Eric will have tip-off at 7 p.m. Last I saw, I believe the Grizzlies were 12-point favorites. We'll start with some Grizzlies talk. Then, last night, speaking of stadiums and other rabbit holes that I got down, I went from World Series, the Yankees winning. I don't believe the Yankees are going to do what the Red Sox did to the Yankees in 2004, but it got a rabbit hole going. And then I wound up watching the 30 for 30. I haven't watched the Netflix on the 2004 Red Sox, but I watched the 30 for 30, kind of like going back. It's like, all right, that's the bloody sock game, right? And it was like kind of rewatching, like, how did this all happen again? Because I remembered moments, but I didn't remember the specific order of it. But that got me thinking about stadiums. And obviously stadiums are going to be at the forefront of our mind right now. And there was some stadium discussion that I wanted to have with Kevin. So we'll do that. 305, we're going to get into the list. I think I've discovered the single stinkiest most rat line I've ever seen in the NFL. It'll be for tomorrow, so I want to discuss that. Also, Kevin, did you see the picture of Wimbenyama with Ahsoka, Anakin, and Obi-Wan?
I did not.
Yeah, we're going to have to talk about that because it involves basketball and Star Wars. CJ Hurt's going to join us like he always does on Wednesday, 3:30 for CJ. We'll get into the Grizzlies then. But let's start with Buy, Sell, Short, or Go to Reddit. All right, Kevin, buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. There's no excuse for the Grizzlies to lose tonight to the Nets.
Well,
for the context for everyone, we always talk about schedule losses. This is the definition of a schedule win. The Nets played at home last night against the Denver Nuggets. The game went to overtime. Everybody played, and then they have to flip around and immediately fly here to Memphis. Like, this is what you would circle as a schedule win.
Okay.
12. I've, the line right now I'm seeing is 12.
Now, Zach Edey, Ja Morant listed on the injury report.
I believe Conchar is questionable.
Are they going to play? Because that would be the excuse.
So, I'll stipulate this. All three even don't play. So, buy, sell, short, or go to Red. There's still no excuse.
Well, yeah, I mean, quite often, my experience with Grizzlies fans is that it does always feel like the schedule is not set up in the Grizzlies' advantage, right? And I don't know, but occasionally, every team does have these opportunities, like we've got tonight. The back-to-back, which should be eliminated in the NBA, should not even be a thing, but it still happens, and the last thing you want to do is be playing on the back end of a back-to-back. And if you're the Nets, you're playing on the back end of a back-to-back traveling. Which is just, that's your worst case scenario. Like, that's the one game.
Correct. And the Grizzlies have been at home.
Right. Grizzlies have been just hanging out. They have not traveled at all. So your opponent is rested. You're playing back-to-back games, and you had to get on a plane. And the only way to make that worse is to go to overtime the night before.
Correct.
And they went to overtime, which means they played even more basketball.
Five free more minutes.
Right. So they played extra basketball last night. They got on a plane, they flew to Memphis, and they're playing again tonight, and the Grizz have been resting. They have full day off yesterday. So, in a long home stretch, a ridiculously long home stretch.
To be clear, let me double check. I'm nearly certain the Nets had one of the lowest win totals. Like, this is expected to be one of the worst teams in the league.
And it's also, so they got a win tonight. If that's...
Yes, they have a win total of... They are tied with the Wizards at 19.5 to start the year. The lowest win total across the board.
Now, you don't want to give them one of them. Correct. Don't want to go with the... Don't help them get the over, right?
All right, I'm buying this. And I...
So even without them, because it's such a bad team, because of the situation...
Everything.
If Ja doesn't play... if Ja and Edey, especially because they both... didn't play last year. So, it's in this situation, the Grizzlies last year should be beating this Nets team tonight.
Correct. Or at least they would be favored.
They would be favored.
So, the way that I look at it is, and I mentioned yesterday, I think we as Memphians with both basketball teams, we tend to go too far into the extremes one way or the other. I oftentimes think it's never as good as maybe it feels or we think it is, and it's usually never as bad, a couple of exceptions. The way that the Tigers fell apart last year, that was bad. And the Grizzlies roster situation, that was bad.
Right.
But with all of the discussion and the hand-wringing and the general anger from Monday night's loss, I do also, I'm the one that's like, that's a bad loss. I'm not excusing it. But at the same time, it's like, this is October. We're still at the part of the calendar where they are trying to figure things out. They had a few guys out. Like, I'm willing to kind of give that a pass. Tonight would be one of those nights where you sit there and you go, I don't know when or where or how that loss is going to hurt you, but that is a loss that is just going to be an anchor. And typically, in the NBA, it doesn't work like that. It's not like in the NBA you get quad four losses. Like, this wouldn't be the Tigers losing a bye game. But at the same time, it's like, that's one of those ones where if you lose this game at home, it invites questions that I think nobody wants. Also, I know this really doesn't matter, but I do think it's important to, in this first stretch of like 10 games, I think it's important to not fall behind below 500. And that would fall, you would fall below 500. And then you would also have lost back-to-back games as one is a double-digit favorite and the other is, I think it was like a 7.5 or 8-point favorite.
Yeah, I mean, you're coming off the disappointing loss on Monday. That's all, another reason why they should win tonight, right? Like, you're not going to have the slip up and lose, you know, it should be motivation going in. Everything pointing in the Grizzlies' direction. And, yeah.
You would hope,
what's going on with Ja?
You would hope. Like, that's the thing. The question, though, would then become, like, if you were to lose this game tonight, it then invites the question of, okay, how did it happen? And is it the same problems that have been plaguing them, which is they're when basically Jaren and Marcus Smart are not on the floor, they've been very bad defensively, and they're playing too many guys. They're not playing their best players enough. Like, it invites all of those questions. And
What's going on here with the Nets? Are they playing limited minutes to players that should be playing more?
I mean, last night when I saw the
is that why they are losing? You know, if so, they're probably well rested going into tonight.
Well, they're losing because they sold off. They right. still have Ben Simmons, but like they were selling off, and they're like, okay, we're rebuilding. They do have one win on the year.
They do, yeah.
I was trying to see for last night. Like, I know, like, Jokic played 40-something. That's kind of the other thing I think that is also frustrating.
The Nets beat the Bucks.
When you start, yeah, that's because, the Bucks have been a disaster, too. But when you start looking at, like, other teams and you see the minute distribution, like, last night, Michael Porter Jr., 40 minutes, Jokic, 40 minutes, Christian Brown, 40 minutes, Christian Brown, 39 minutes, Jamal Murray, 37, Aaron Gordon, 33. With the Nets, you had Dennis Schroeder with 42 minutes, Cam Johnson with 40 minutes, Cam Thomas, wow, they got the Cameron zone going, 38 and a half, Dorian Finney-Smith, 37 minutes, Nick Claxton got 26, Zaire got 22. Oh, yeah, it's Zaire revenge game, by the way. Also, wasn't Shake Milton here for a cup of coffee?
Yeah.
I feel like was he? No, he wasn't. No? I don't know why. We had another Milton, but I don't know why I thought Shake Milton. But this is just one of those ones where, for all the reasons that you laid out, you got the schedule, you've got the get the bad taste out of your mouth. Like, they're just honestly, to me, like, I don't believe in must wins in October, but like, this would be the type of loss where you would be facing questions that I think would be deserved.
I mean, it's one of those situations, like, you think about when you're doing some analytics or whatever, right. But like, you get to playoff time, and you're looking at seeding, and you look back, well, oh my goodness, they just should have won that one game. You know, if they would, why did they have to lose that game to the Nets back in October? This would be the one, right? So, like,
and I think
every game does count at the end of the day. So whether you say it's a must win or not, you know, you can get into the whole debate of the players. Every minute matters in a basketball game. So whether you sit the players that are in foul trouble at the beginning or if you put them in at the end.
Well, like, the weird thing, though, was this year it has not been like, it wasn't like Jaren was being held out for foul trouble.
Yeah.
When he left the game in the fourth, he had three, and he went to the fourth quarter with one. So it wasn't as if it was foul trouble. It is this, right now, I think it's a couple of things at play. Number one, you have three guys that I think would clearly be in your rotation, and Vince, Kennard, and Gigi. They are not playing. And so because of that, you're kind of experimenting and trying these other guys and seeing who deserves the role that is getting elevated. Then you also have this, they're playing with more pace and they want to flatten the minutes because they're playing at a faster pace. They want to play more guys. That's something that like I'm flagging for. If this doesn't work, in the first like month or so, like, let's go back to the tried and true approach. Get your best players on the floor as much as possible. Like, that's something that I'm like, I'm willing to give you the opportunity to prove that this thing can work. But most of the teams that try this do not have three players of the quality of Ja Morant, Desmond Bain, and Jaren Jackson Jr.
Right. I agree. So I officially buy it. Tonight they got to win. There's no excuse. No excuse game is what we're calling.
All right, let's go to this. So I yesterday learned that the Players Tribune still active. Did not know that. But this was inspired by a question that Kevin asked earlier. Buy, sell short, or go to Reddit. Rudy Gay was nicer to Memphis than Memphis was to Rudy Gay.
After reading that Players Tribune write-up and so many words about Memphis from Rudy Gay, I would have to say, I buy it. I think he seems not that we were mean, but there was high expectations for Rudy Gay when he was here, and he did not meet those expectations. And apparently, it's still some of it is having a lasting effect on him that he looks back at with fond memories. But do you have any of the quotes from the?
I can pull
some of them up here. But Rudy, which. He's one of those guys that you could have told me he already retired.
I've told you, this is something that has started to annoy me. I thought he was already retired.
Right.
Like, I do feel like we are doing this move of like guys are announcing a retirement after the league's already retired them.
So he's just did not have a deal with the team. Or is he with the team and he.
So
is this like the Rose? We just had the Derrick Rose retirement, right? Like he was with the team, asked to be bought out, then it's like I'm done. But
so Rudy has not played since the 22-23 season,
right? So yeah, no, he's officially retired today. But I think I've got some of these Memphis quotes here. Well, I thought I did.
So it is quite the essay.
It is. I saved out some of the stuff he said about Memphis, but if you remember, so Rudy Gay when he got traded for like it was a Jeffrey you and everybody on the station you know, often talk about like if you're a coach you don't want to follow a certain coach right like you don't want to
yes,
be the guy
you never
who
want
follows
to be the guy that follows the guy
Nick Saban you don't want to be that guy and we're seeing it right now it's not easy you don't want to be the guy to follow John Calipari you don't want to be that guy. Well, in Memphis, you didn't want to be the player.
All right, here we go.
To be traded for Shane Battier, but I mean, he was traded for Shane Battier, so he's coming in with this
Anstro Mile High.
Yeah, Anstro Mile. But like Shane's popularity in this town, he's one of the most popular still today, like one of the most popular Grizzlies players of all time, and. So this was a moment for the city when this trade happened. There was not really a big moment when you lost a player. Like it was I probably the first time that we had a Grizzly player take out an ad.
Yeah.
You know, in the paper
like the full page ad.
The Battier thank you newspaper. Like it was really a coming to age moment for Memphis as a big league city, like having a major leagues team, this was Rudy Gay trade. So what did Rudy say about Memphis?
One thing about Memphis. Those fans, they love to see the players they cheer for out and about town. Like, they really want to see you. You can't be one of those hermit crab type dudes, the we never see them anywhere types, and be playing in Memphis. It just won't work. They need you to be out there with them, walking and eating and running errands. And if you can hang in that way, those people will show you more love than you can ever imagine. It may not be for everyone, but I absolutely loved it. All of it. I loved being a part of that vibe. Unfortunately, trades happen. And look, I'm no dummy. I know the deal. I know I get a lot of flack for the Grizzlies having a run of success after trading me. But all I can tell you is that I'm proud of what I contributed toward the rise of that team back then. And I hope everyone there knows how much I loved being a Memphis Grizzly. I enjoyed a bunch of places where I played during my career. Toronto was amazing. Sacramento was a really fun place to play. But there will always be a soft spot in my heart for Memphis.
That's very kind word. Rudy was awesome to watch. You know, watch his dunks, right? And he brings up such an interesting point that I don't know if it's true anymore, Jeffrey. Do you feel like it's the out and about factor is as big of a deal anymore? I don't know if it's a post COVID thing or if it's a we've had a pro team for so long thing as a city. But there was something because he got traded for Shane Battier, who was Mr. In the town.
How many
charity events, restaurants?
Well, I was thinking about this. How many how many high schools do you think Shane gave some type of address to?
He was everywhere.
I mean, I know for a fact, like, next play, yeah. he did a chapel at MUS. And I'm sure, like, I feel like it's got to be in the double digits, high double digits. So I think you're right. I think it's something that.
In his, that's what he remembers, because it was, I think, possibly unique to his scenario. I mean, Mike Miller was always another guy who was always seen, and still to this day is still seen around.
I'd say Jason Williams was always seen.
Jay Will.
Now,
I think the age of the players.
I'm not as willing to say that it was COVID dependent. Number one, I think there was this aspect. At that point in time, the Tigers were still the bigger game in town for the most part. And I think Heisley was way more intentional on having, like, think about it. Heisley would go on radio shows. Like, Heisley would answer every person's phone call, like all media types phone calls, whatnot. Like, there was a very different approach.
Oh, but you're right about that. I mean, from the media, it's totally different now.
I do also think, though, there was part of, hey, laying the groundwork of trying to be a part of the community to see whether or not it would catch on, because you and I know, like, the Grizzlies coming here was not like a slam dunk amongst the community. And I think I think there was more of an intentional focus of getting out and about to try and build that sense of connection.
I don't think they were instructed for Shane Battier to be hanging out on South Main or something. Speeches you're talking about, but what Rudy's pointing at, we want to see you at the grocery store. And there's a cool element, and as I say it quite often about 901 Wrestling, people are like, well, you know, who are these wrestlers? Like, these are Memphians. These are people that you will see. You will see them out at the grocery store. You will see them at other sporting events. They are citizens of the community, and that stuff does matter to people. But it did feel like it really, really mattered back then. And maybe, I don't know, maybe it's because you had people like Shane and Mike who were just automatically doing it, whether they just enjoyed the celebrity, or they just enjoyed the city, or they enjoyed the people, or they just enjoyed living their life. And
I do wonder if there's also an element, because I do think also, like, I do think it goes hand in hand. Like, this iteration of the Grizzlies under Robert Pera. And yeah. I've been very...
You think it's connected in that way? I mean, because if you can go back to even when the Grizzlies got here, the promotion of the team was... Remember those commercials? Like,
yes.
The round town. And it would show Jay Will picking up your garbage.
Yes.
And all of that, right? Like, the commercials. I'm sure you can find some on YouTube. They were great commercials. Some of the best commercials we've seen for the Grizzlies. But it showed them around town doing stuff. So it was like implemented in our minds that we're going to see these guys. These guys are Memphians and they're here. So at the time it was important. But you're saying, yeah, that's not important to the franchise to get the players out there in the media, doing the interviews, doing the speeches.
I think it's important to note, like, you know, when Rudy gets here, we were what? iPhone comes out in 07. The iPhone comes out in 07. And how long would you say it took? Because now we live in a world where everyone's got a camera phone, and you're always worried about, like, I'm not even saying like, oh, they're doing something sketchy, so they don't go out because they're worried about phones. But it's just like,
you just want some privacy. You don't privacy in public. Like,
I mean, it's I can understand if every time I walk out to go get the groceries, I don't want to take a picture.
Right.
Now, I would also argue, like, hey, man, if you are that guy, like, you're probably going to make more money. I would argue that it's probably good from a business perspective. But I can understand on a personal level, every single time you go out the door, you don't want to be on. I totally get that.
And 100% understand that. And you're right. I think that might be it. It's not that COVID reversed our minds, and it did. And maybe that factors a little bit. And yes, there's a factor of how the team is being run. I do think that's a factor, but you may be right. The biggest thing is, like, it's just different today with the phones than it was when the Grizzlies moved here in the, you know, 2001 was the season number one. Battier was here pre-iPhone, and it's just a little, not that he was doing anything that he wouldn't want to get captured. He just wouldn't have to take a selfie every few steps and have everybody have a camera on them and have to deal with that. So, yeah, I do think the stress of going out is different. Because, I mean, it's the player. It may be the – and we saw this with Ja, which is very interesting. Ja, like, I don't ever hear anybody necessarily seeing Ja around town or whatever. But he was at the Tiger football game, and we also see Taylor Swift at these games. Like, in these controlled environments are the easiest ways.
Taylor Jenkins, you mean?
No, I'm talking about Taylor Swift going to a football game. I'm just saying, like, in general. Like,
okay, I've not seen her around town.
We don't see much of Taylor Swift in general, you know, in sports. We see her at all these sporting events, though. She goes to sporting events, and we see her.
Right.
But there's not many, like, Taylor Swift caught, you know, there's some tabloid stuff of her going to a club or something. But,
like, we'll hear about, like, when she has dinner with, like, Ryan Reynolds' wife.
Blake Lively.
Yeah. Whenever she's with Selena Gomez, when they want to just rip on one of their...
And she's getting constantly followed around. But like, Ja, like, going to the football games, or if he goes, you know, he was at the Memphis football game, but you said Jenkins was also...
No, I thought Taylor Swift.
Okay,
I'm waiting.
When I say Taylor Swift's name, I mean Taylor Swift. But
Taylor was always on your mind, so yeah.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, it's easy for Ja to go to the football. Like, that's an easier thing because you know you're going to be... When you're going somewhere that you know you're going to be seen, that is... but also you could know you probably get some privacy because he can go in the back and he can chill in a room and not worry about, you know, a private suite or something. I don't know. I do think the phone is the big deal, though.
So, I think I'm going to short this. And here's the reason I'm going to short it. We've been mean to guys, but a lot of that Rudy narrative that he's talking about, that didn't really come from Memphis. That came from around the league. Like, that's the they're going to win more without you. Like, that was the original precursor to what Draymond told Dylan Brooks. Like, they're going to win their championships without you.
I think that, man, that's fair. Look, I do buy, I feel like...
I do think we were, I think there
it's
was...
Not, a, he looks back more fondly of his time here than I think we do. We forgot about him and moved on.
But so, like, I guess...
Here I am being mean to Rudy, but I'm not trying to be, but it's just...
I definitely think there was a desire for him to be better. But he was
to be the star. He was going to be like, no, you're dead on that. He can not only had to replace Battier and all the community stuff and how he was beloved, but he was supposed to be that dynamic star that came in that we had to wait as long as really to Ja Morant.
Right, but I also like think back like to in the 2011 playoffs when the Grizzlies lose to the Thunder in the second round in seven games. Like, I mean, don't you remember the refrain was Heisley going, "We all know, like, listen, credit to the Thunder, but we all know if Rudy Gay was playing in the series, we'd be moving on." So, like, there was that. I just don't think he was in the category of the Jeff Greens of the world. Certainly not, like, the Chandlers and whatnot. But, like...
Early Mike Conley?
Yes, for sure.
Mike Conley had it much worse than him for a minute.
Yeah, I mean, particularly... Wouldn't play home games?
Yeah, it was some bizarre.
It was like he wouldn't play home games, but played road games. I'm trying to remember. I think it was like wouldn't play home games. And then also, I mean, we went down this rabbit. This is also the draft that they end up getting Kyle Lowry. And so there's always going to be like the when.
And Lowry, you know, it's going to be a blessing to be drafted later, you know, in the draft because he didn't have as much pressure on him, right? So.
Well, on top of that, like then when Rudy gets traded. Yeah, I guess when Lowry got traded, he gets traded to the East and there's not a lot of good guards. And so like that allowed him to make a few more All-Star games probably than he would have. Like it obviously worked more for Lowry, but I'm not saying like we clearly Rudy was in a different level of the core four, but I don't think like there have been guys that we've been mean to and bad to. Rudy's not really one of them. Like, I think we were way worse to Jeff Green.
But a lot of those people, but you're listening to maybe they were more deserving of it. Some of them, Parsons in particular. But anyway, shout out to Rudy. I hope he's happy in his retirement. I'm glad he looks back at his time here so positively. But it is something. It made a lasting impact on him on how much, at the time at least, there was pressure to, to be, oh, be a sure. Memphian.
And I think he had the desire to be great. Like he was always the guy that after a tough shooting night, like he was before this became like a popular thing to do to make sure the cameras were looking at you
right.
and go shoot after a game. Like he was that guy. I just don't think he had maybe the feel for the game. I don't even think it was like a desire, a work ethic. I think he had all that. I think it was just simply like the intangibles.
The intangible
is what he didn't have. All right, here's one more. We'll save our Buc-ee's win for the list. Buy, sell short, or go to Reddit. The Tigers need to win a conference championship in either football and or basketball this year.
I mean, every year that's the goal, right? But do they? Is there?
I kept it open ended for a reason. I wanted to see how you'd go with it.
Well, I feel like it's they've got a tough path this year for the conference championship in football already. They've only had one loss. There's a path.
You need someone to knock off Navy realistically, and you really need that to be like basically your path now is you need Tulane to beat Navy. You beat Tulane, and likely what would happen in that situation is the choice would be based on the rankings, and you would go to Army, but that's the cleanest way in my opinion.
For football, it's always felt like this season, unfortunately, with the schedule and all of that, if you weren't going to be playing for a shot at the playoffs at the end of the year, that's what needed to happen.
Yeah.
They needed to be in contention for that playoff spot in the conversation and either lose grasp of it at the very end or not. That's what they needed. That's what this team needed. It's still technically possible, but very unrealistic that we'll get into that scenario in the next few weeks. But so I don't think they need to win a conference, because I don't think it will matter. If they win the conference championship and they're not in the playoff conversation, I don't think it's gonna matter.
I don't think it's the most likely outcome, but you are in this situation where if you run the table and you win the league, really all you need is one more Boise loss, in my opinion. Because when you look at the rest of the G5 possibilities, so UNLV is going to have four losses. They're out. And it's also entirely possible UNLV doesn't even get the rematch back with Boise in the title game. But if Boise has any loss the rest of the way, it's probably not going to be a good loss. It's also going to be a second loss. And yes, Notre Dame curb stomped Navy, but to me, they're not really going to do the transitive. It's not going to look like Navy's going to be a bad loss when it's at Navy. But also what I think was helpful
about
that
is... It's a much better loss, yeah, for sure.
Well, what also helped you was the way that Notre Dame beat Navy, it pushes them down. And it pushes them down in a way that part of your story right now is not only do you have to keep winning, but you need it to be where you're going to be higher in the rankings than Navy is in the event of a tie. Like, so you kind of, and not being just obviously the head-to-head. And so it's unlikely, but it's still not unreasonable.
No, there you go. But they would need to win the conference championship, I guess, to make
Correct.
It happen. So that they would
Correct.
Need to do it. And I think the best thing, I mean, we're at this point in the season, we're looking like it's not, Ryan Silverfield does not have to worry about his job, right? He's going to be back next year. The Tigers are going to be back in this conference. The Hole may or may not be back in the Liberty Bowl. We've got the same opportunity again next year for the Tigers, right? There's going to be a 12-team playoff again next year. So the opportunity is still, obviously the team is going to be different, and it may not be as strong, but, I mean, Silverfield's been surprising on this.
You had Jeff Traylor yesterday during his media availability. Like, one of his questions was about Memphis and NIL, and basically implying that they have 10 times the amount of money that we do. And that has always been the point that I've been trying to harp on with Tiger football. I understand historically what the records have been, but there is no point in time in which Tiger football was unquestionably this good of a job in their own conference.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that. So do they need to? I guess they need to win the conference championship to make the playoffs, which would be the big deal. But the problem is, in the scenario when we were talking preseason, like the playoff run part of the fun of it was going to be the lead up to it. And if they kind of, if they're going to get the backdoor entry in the playoffs, it's still going to be amazing and the biggest sports story of the year in the city if they can make the playoffs.
But it doesn't allow you to capitalize on the momentum.
On the momentum and the excitement of the city and the attention of the city. It's only going to be an attention for a few days, because I still believe, because, you know, I'm out and about every night somewhere. It was a Huey South win last night. I'll be at a Celtic Crossing tonight. And we've got so many Halloween events tomorrow. I'm going to go to CerritoEntertainment.com, find out where you can play trivia or bingo for free. But I still don't necessarily think the common man in the city realizes the opportunity is there, right? I do feel like...
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I feel like, because it has not happened before, there's never been the 12-team playoff, the idea is still being learned by many people. So, like, if you have to do it again next year, we'll try to do it again next year. But, I mean, they're in great position to still pull it off. So, they obviously need to do that. The Tigers, the question is, does Penny need to win the conference championship? Because if they're not winning the conference championship, they're not making the tournament, right? More than likely?
Probably. I mean, it's going to be a question of, what does that look like? Did they go in non-conference? Did they go 500 or worse? And then, like, if you could talk me into this scenario, they go roughly around 500 in the non-conference against a very tough schedule. They run through conference play, win the league regular season title by, let's say, multiple games, and then they get knocked out in the conference championship game. You could talk me into a scenario where they got rewarded for who they played,
for the name on the jersey, made
whom they played, and then, like, scheduling like they did, and okay, we're not going to make too much out of a conference title game.
But it's such a bad conference,
right? Yeah. That's where the problem. Here's why I'm buying it. I'm not buying it from some type of evaluation of coaches or programs or whatnot.
Yeah.
I do think what is important is, as the league continues to get watered down and worsens, where you're going to really struggle is, really? We can't even win this?
Either one of them. Like,
correct.
Like, can't win either one of them.
And I can now watch every game. I can go to the games I want to, but I can watch every game. I don't have to buy season tickets. I don't have to give to the collective. Why would I do this? I do think at a certain point, like, you got to kind of start cashing in. And
when you're the big boy in the league, right? Like, you are,
and like, I
supposed
will say
to be the best in both.
I don't think it matters in terms of realignment of whether or not you're dominating a league. Like, I don't think that is,
because they're in the conversation every year. So I do think that you have to have a competent program.
But it would be nice to put to bed the whole, why are y'all whining when you can't even win your own bad league? Like, you know, like, you're better than this, but you can't win it. You can't prove that you're better than it. Like, I think it'd be good to just kind of put that aside for a little bit.
I mean, to the people who said that, I'd be like, well, we can do it. I mean, it's just
we just have it.
Well, I mean, the example of the current leadership of these teams do it? Yeah, I guess is the question. In basketball, it's been done, but it's been other leagues, obviously,
right,
that Memphis has dominated, other versions of this league. But this league is worse than those, so we should be able to do it. I think you could point to some stuff on that. But yeah, with football, it sure would be nice.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want to discuss some stadium renovation thoughts, couple of things that I was thinking about last night as it pertains to us, as we're obviously upgrading the football stadium, hopefully sooner rather than later, upgrading the basketball stadium. I want to discuss all of that when we come back right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 99 FM, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
program is brought to you by our good friends over at Birdies. It's still Golftoberfest for two more days. That means you have book online at golfatbirdies.com. You can enjoy half off standard golf rates. Now's the time to book your holiday party or event at Birdies. Dates are filling up, but if you book during today or tomorrow, you can guarantee the Golftoberfest rates, even if your party happens in November or December. Follow them on Instagram at Birdies901 for all the latest news and specials for Memphis's favorite place for virtual golf. Also, don't forget about the membership options. $100 a month gets you 10 hours on the simulators, as well as discounts and more. Saturday night is karaoke night on Simulator 2. Over 600 courses worldwide to play on their golf simulators. You can also watch your favorite game with the sound on. Great TV setup there as well. If you just want to go and watch the games, makes for a good place to just go and hang out. 493 South Main Street, Suite 101, golfatbirdies.com. All right, Kevin, I'd mentioned last night at the World Series that as it looks like the Yankees are going to at least avoid the sweep, I started thinking, it's like, all right, do we really believe that they could actually pull this off? And that really wasn't the point of the conversation for me, because like, I don't really believe so, because I think the Dodgers are just better. But it then, of course, gets me to the only time we have seen somebody come back from 4-0 in baseball, the 0-4 Red Sox. They do it, of course, against the Yankees, and then they eventually sweep the Cardinals in the World Series for their first World Series championship since 1918, I believe, was the date. But as I'm going through this rabbit hole, you realize two distinct styles between the Red Sox and the Yankees. So the Yankees, famously, in what was it, 08, 09? I think it was 09, because I think they're one of the teams, I think they won the World Series their first year in new Yankee Stadium. But they famously knocked down Yankee Stadium 2, I believe. I believe it's 2. Knocked down Yankee Stadium 2, built it next door, and initially, you had all the criticism because the whole point of doing it was getting more premium seating, and they had all these empty seats that were the best seats behind, you know, home plate early, because that's where they were getting all the corporate money. Whereas the Red Sox, not from a lack of trying, their idea of what to do with their stadium is, let's preserve Fenway, even though there was a proposal for a new Fenway Park that was just violently rejected. But their idea was pour a bunch of money into old Fenway, but preserve this old park. And why I started thinking about it is, obviously, that's kind of the approach of what we're doing with the Liberty Bowl. We're taking a historic stadium and we're trying to modernize it and trying to make it a much nicer home. And let's be real, a large portion of the reason of doing this is to make yourself look prettier in the event that your number gets called to move up into a different league. All well and good. But there's also this weird reality I was thinking of, like, we're more comfortable with the idea, like, for instance, the Jaguars are not building a brand new stadium, although for all intents and purposes they are. But we found out today that the Florida-Georgia game next year will be played at Mercedes-Benz Dome in Atlanta, and the following year will be played at whatever we're calling Tampa Stadium now, where the Bucks play. The new sombrero, as Boone would refer to it. It used to be Raymond James. I don't know if it's still Raymond James. I think it's still probably Raymond James. So they're going to play the next year there.
Yeah, Raymond James.
And then they'll bring it back to the new Jaguar Stadium. But obviously with the Grizzlies, part of the whole what I've always been fascinated by is, we are way more inclined to say, if you preserve and modernize your stadium, if you will, whether it be baseball or football, that everyone kind of prefers that. Like, you know, we think about, like, in throughout, like, college football, it's like, we don't really see, like, everyone redoes their stadium, but not many schools just knock down the stadium and build a brand new one. Like, Baylor didn't even knock down the stadium. They just built their own on campus and stopped playing at a municipal stadium. But for the most part,
right, like, they do the thing that the Tigers should be doing. But
correct, but there was a lot. Like, in the end, I think the Tigers are doing what was financially possible.
Right. Nice. That's true.
So, but
no, you're right. There's more of the
why do arenas feel like they go out of date so much faster than stadiums do?
Is it because it's in, is it because it's exclusively inside? I don't know. Like,
I think part of it is
it's like a mall.
I think part of it also is not many of them have that much history. Like most, when we talk about like most,
even Madison Square Garden's not the original Madison Square.
No, I think it's the third as well. But like they did at least have an emphasis of preserving that building. But I also think when you run into like with Manhattan, it's like, well, where are you putting it? Like there's no there's a reason why the football stadium's in Jersey. Like, you know, like where you know, like they found the spot for the Barclays Center, but that's in Brooklyn. It's like they like being in Manhattan. Like it's the only professional team in Manhattan. But there's also this reality, like with the Grizzlies, where, all right, we all acknowledge like the cost of doing business, the cost of keeping the Grizzlies is doing these upgrades. But there's also like this reality of like, man, I'm not even sure like what all this money's actually going to get, because the cost of construction and everything, like if you would have said in 2019 they're going to do a $350 to $500 million renovation, I would have been like, that's basically a brand new arena.
Yeah.
Now, basically what you're doing is like you're really kind of just giving it, like it sounds insane, but this is true. It's like they can't even do what they really want to do. What they really want to do is they want to flip the amount of seats up top with the amount of seats down low. And they're probably not even going to be able to do that. And it's almost like...
And is that something they're still considering? I mean, because they need to do that. But that seems like an impossible task. It's like at the pyramid. What needed to be done at the pyramid was the acoustics needed to be improved. And that the... it didn't need to... Like when you're sitting up top, it needed to feel like you weren't falling out of your seat.
Correct.
There was, you know, there were... And they couldn't do that. So they, part right. of the reason is you're going to have to build a new arena. You know, it was not... They needed more boxes as well. But the... so they had to build FedEx Forum. But the pyramid was close to, you know, where it needed to be, and that's why the Grizzlies were able to move here.
I mean, the idea of the pyramid, at least as it was sold by a con man, was an NBA quality arena. And part of like the whole shopping center, the making that a new place of like retail and a destination spot. But I guess the thing I'm thinking is like as a bummer is like when the Red Sox proposed New Fenway, like they're able to just go, no. And it then in the end, it's like, all right, well, we can't do that. So we're going to, like, there's no option of moving the Boston Red Sox, even though teams have moved from Boston. Like, the Red Sox were not leaving Boston. Whereas, like, with the Grizzlies, if you want to sit there and go, like, I think we can all agree, like, there does need to be clearly updates to the arena, but it's like,
Wrigley and Fenway, like what other outdoor stadiums do you feel like are protected under that idea? Like those are
so
the,
originally
you have to make a list of these will continue to be the home venue of these sports teams for the rest of our lifetimes. You would put them on the list.
Lambeau. You would have said Soldier Field, and then now like when they like that's the other problem. It's like when Soldier Field did their whole modernization, like it was a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also kind of around the same time frame that a lot of these, like that's kind of the biggest problem.
Lambeau, and it's strictly just based off of where that team is based out of.
Correct. And there's like the way that the Packers are organized, like it's organized as a community right. trust
Who
and whatnot.
It?
Like, and they keep, whenever
they're not moving out of Green Bay and they're not.
Correct. And when they
their owner's not going to do anything.
Well, they don't have an owner.
They don't have an owner.
So,
right.
And then like when they have the, like when they get money.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.